You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This guy's coming out in the draft. He's going to be a top 10 pick. Probably a top 5 or 3 pick, really. I never biscuited the lights and the fame.
Whoa, I do it for me and I do it again. It's something that, as a kid, I dreamt about.
This dude is rare. He is special.
I'd like to create history and rewrite history.
That's what Caleb Williams does.
Drake May is a player to watch, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, did JJ thread the needle there?
Jaden Daniels on the run. Wow!
A dream reality real soon.
Something that would be, you know, truly a dream come true.
Ooh, round one is less than 4 weeks away, everybody. I know, it's so exciting, isn't it? Welcome to NFL Live. Hannah Storm, along with Mina Kimes, Sam Otto, Jeremy Fowler, Matt Miller. We have a full house. We're breaking down what we have seen this week and what is ahead in the coming weeks. So, Matt, let's start with these pro days. They're all done. What have we learned about the quarterback, starting with Drake May?
Oh, Hannah, we learned so much. Mostly the NFL teams have racked up their frequent flyer miles getting to these pro days. North Carolina, 32 NFL teams were represented. May started a little bit shaky, but we saw toward the end of this workout, he flashed the arm strength, the mobility. We get the crazy throws across body, working off platform. All the feedback I got from teams was that May impressed. He did shake off some early struggles, made the corrections that were necessary throughout the pro day workout. He's still very much in play as a top 3 or 4 pick in this year's draft. Now, the guy he is competing with most closely, Jaden Daniels, the LSU workout also attended by 32 NFL teams, as Daniels and his amazing wide receivers did fantastic work. He's got Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas to throw to. Again, everything I heard, this is our first look at Jaden Daniels in this pre-draft process. No Senior Bowl, no combine. Everything I heard was the pro day workout went very well. And he, once again, is keeping himself in that top 2 to 3 quarterback argument, with Caleb Williams being the presumed number one overall guy. And then Michael Penix, only 30 NFL teams go to the Washington Pro Day, but very, very well represented. And he, I think, probably had the best workout of anyone we've seen so far in this Pro Day circuit, because the athletic testing, he showed off the explosiveness. 40 times were around 4.6 seconds unofficially, which is a very, very good time for him, especially coming off the 2 ACL injuries. And then the throwing workout, we knew it would be special. We saw it at the combine. It was great again at his pro day. So a lot of intrigue now as we get closer to finding out where these quarterbacks will land.
Absolutely. And on the subject of Penix, our resident GM Mike Tannenbaum sees him as a first rounder. And in typical Mikey T fashion, he has an out-of-the-box idea about who should draft the Washington quarterback.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys and you really want to make things interesting, picking in the late 20s in the first round of this year's draft, what might you consider doing?
Take Michael Penix, and here's why, Greeny. Last year, Deontay Banks, with the 24th pick, averages roughly $3.3 million. So if the four of us were running an NFL team, we would all say that Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than Michael Penix today. But if one's making $55 million a year and one's making $3.3 million, think about all the other players that just walked out the door, most notably someone like Tyron Smith that could be a Dallas Cowboy.
Leave it to Mikey T to come up with something to give us fuel on a Friday. Mina, Sam, and Jeremy with us. Let's start with you, Acho. Should the Cowboys, who have a lot of needs, consider drafting a quarterback in the first round?
I wouldn't be opposed if that quarterback is Michael Penix Jr. Why do I say that? Michael Penix Jr., over his first 4 years in college, had back-to-back-to-back-to-back season-ending injuries. There's this injury history, but the last 2 years, he's been fully healthy, and not only that, he's led college football in passing yards both last year and the year before last. Mind you, plays in the same conference as Caleb Williams, right? So beat him head-to-head. And so for me, if I'm Dallas and I have Dak Prescott on the last year of his contract, you draft a guy in the late 20s who could, if he was healthy, be a top 3 pick, all of a sudden you have a quarterback for now and potentially for the future. Let's say Dak plays outstanding, Michael Penix learns from him. Let's say you have an Aaron Rodgers situation with Jordan Love. I think it's there are holes for the Cowboys, absolutely, but I'm not totally against the idea of drafting a quarterback if that quarterback's name is Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, I don't love this idea or the fit for Penix. Sam mentioned Jordan Love. You know, Jordan Love was extremely young and raw coming into the NFL. Obviously, he sat not because of that, but because he was playing behind Aaron Rodgers, who's still playing at an extraordinarily high level. But Penix, I view as much more of a finished product, not just in terms of his age. He is an older prospect, but he's played a lot of football. To me, a better destination for him would be a team like, I don't know, Las Vegas, maybe not at 13, but at some point in the draft where he can come in and compete. Whereas with Dallas, I still view this as a playoff roster, and maybe their approach to the offseason hasn't been as all-in as Jerry Jones once said, but in the draft, you have an opportunity to augment an offensive line that really is the biggest area of need here with Tyron Smith and Tyler Biadasz walking out the door. They might kick out, you know, have Tyler Smith, who's been very good play left tackle, but at 24, I think they're going to have some their pick of some pretty talented offensive linemen, and this is a team that has been exceptionally good at drafting and developing at that position.
Yeah, they also have Trey Lance sitting there in their quarterback room. We'll see what happens there. So, Jeremy, this is all, of course, under the prism of Dak's contract situation there in Dallas. What do we know? What's the latest?
Well, Hannah, I talked to somebody directly with the team who said that the notion that the Cowboys don't want to re-sign Dak Prescott after this year is false. They are going to try. Now, can they find common ground on the contract when Prescott has unprecedented leverage here? The $60-plus million cap hit this year, dead money on the contract next year. It's going to be hard for them to do, but I do expect them to try. They still see Prescott as their long-term answer. They have Trey Lance as a developmental quarterback right now, but all offseason signals are that they're going to try to re-sign their big three at some point. Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons.
A lot of work to do there in Dallas. Let's stay in the division and pivot to the New York Giants. They have done their due diligence with quarterback prospects in the draft, which is very interesting, including some video yesterday in Washington. There's Brian Daboll. Joe Shane, their GM, was there too, but obviously he's chatting with Michael Penix at the Pro Day. Receiver Roma Dunze, of course, we know that he was there, did not work out, but certainly they were looking at him as well, and they attended LSU's Pro Day. The Giants have the sixth pick in the draft, so here we have Daniel Jones. He's the incumbent. Breakout season, as you know, in 2022. Led the Giants to the divisional round of the playoffs. As a result, he gets the four-year contract extension Saquon is franchised. But then Jones isn't able to replicate that success last season. He had just two touchdown passes, six interceptions prior to tearing his ACL in week 9. Now, Daboll said he loves meeting and evaluating quarterbacks, and we know he's that kind of quarterback guru type of guy. And Matt, we do know there were elite receivers at those pro days, but do you see the Giants seriously potentially in the quarterback market in the first round?
I mean, they very well could be. I think the interesting question is, will a quarterback who they like be there at number six overall? Everything I've heard is that the Giants are open to that possibility. They are doing the right homework just in case a J.J. McCarthy is there or in case a Drake May happens to fall. Six would be, in my opinion, too early for Michael Penix Jr. coming off some of the issues that Mina pointed out and that Sam did with the injuries, the age. He is more ready to play right now, and they've said Daniel Jones is our guy for this year. They added Drew Locke. So while neither of those guys are, you know, elite franchise quarterbacks, this would seem to be a crowded room in that situation. So I think the Giants are open to it. But as you very accurately said, Washington has a lot of good football players. There's a reason they were in the national championship game. So we love to connect the dots between GMs and head coaches and the quarterbacks. Washington's got like three other first-round picks that are going to be selected that the Giants could also be considering, including the two guys on the offensive line, Troy Fatanu, Roger Rosengarten, where they actually have some needs. And as you mentioned, Hannah, the wide receivers, Roma Dunze could very much be in play at number six overall. So it's smart to kick the tires on the quarterbacks. You got to be there. But all these pro days have good wide receivers too, Mina.
Yeah, I mean, Washington was not only loaded, but as Matt just said, they're loaded at the positions that the New York Giants need, specifically receiver and offensive line. I would expect them to hit receiver at pick six, especially if, as increasingly seems likely, a team jumps them to four or five to go get J.J. McCarthy. And if that were to happen, I would like for the Giants to take one of those top receivers at six, probably Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, and then maybe consider Penix in the second round or the third round. I love the idea of them bringing in a quarterback to not sit behind Daniel Jones and learn for a year, as we talked about with Dallas, but to compete right away with Daniel Jones. His contract is only guaranteed for injury next year, so there is incentive for the Giants to move on this season if possible to protect themselves from that possibility. And I think Penix would be a terrific pick for them just later in the draft.
We have some breaking news on New York's other football team, and this is via Adam Schefter. It's a trade. The Eagles are sending their edge rusher Hassan Reddick to the New York Jets for a conditional 2026 third-round pick that could be a second, sources tell ESPN. The 2026 pick becomes a second if Reddick has a 67.5% playing time this season and has 10 or more sacks. If not, it's a 2023 third. Now, Mina, we knew and felt that this might be inevitable, that he would be moving on from the Eagles. What do you think about this for the Jets?
Well, let's start here. They basically traded pass rushers because you remember the Eagles signed Bryce Huff as a free agent. And when that happened, there was a thought, okay, then maybe they're going to trade Hassan Reddick. I didn't think they were going to trade him right back to the team that they got Bryce Huff from. Really interesting. This Jets defense obviously adds to a position of strength. They also drafted Will McDonald last year, Jermaine Johnson before that. They are exceptionally deep on that front. And this confirms really what we've seen all offseason from the Jets, which is, unlike Dallas, they are all in, and appropriately so, given the age of their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. So I like the fact that they did this, and I like the return you got from for the Philadelphia Eagles, because they are moving on to Bryce Huff. You know, the Jets do have a lot of depth, but I do think it's quite possible he hits that threshold because he is an every-down player for them. So, you know, it makes sense to me for both sides, and, yeah, I'm just excited to watch this Jets defense.
That was a huge move, Mina. To your point, this is a huge move for the New York Jets. Yes, they talk about being all in, but getting a top-tier, top-level pass rusher like Hassan Reddick definitely points to being all in. I was talking to Wade Phillips, right? He obviously coached DeMarcus Ware, coached all these players. Aaron Donald, you listed. He talked about different kind of pass rushers. He said some guys just have a feel. They don't have to be top. They have a feel. Hassan Reddick has a feel. And so for this New York Jets defense, already one of the top defenses in the NFL, now you had a guy like Hassan Reddick, 50 sacks over the last four seasons. That's elite company. This is going to be dangerous. And yes, I understand there's injuries on the offensive side. There's some older players. But one thing that can sometimes cover up a lackluster offense is even more firepower on the defense. So huge move for the New York Jets. I get more excited about this move than I do about even the left tackle, a Tyron Smith position, because I think that he's a guy who not only is he young, but proven to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, a couple things here. The Eagles called their shot with this trade because they had a $1 million roster bonus that was due to Hassan Reddick on March 15th. They low-key moved that to April 1st. And so that was a flare-up to other teams. Hey, let's get a deal done before then. So the Jets stepped up. Part of the reason why the Jets did this is because Jadeveon Clowney they were chasing, he went to Carolina, back home to South Carolina. So they needed to fill that void, got a player that they really liked. Teams I talked to believe that Atlanta and Arizona were going to get involved. I believe they were on the periphery, but the problem here is that you have to give Reddick a new contract eventually. It looks like the Jets at some point will be willing to do that.
Yeah, listen, addressing their offensive line problems, they've been very busy. And you look at Hassan Reddick, 50.5 sacks over the last 4 years. That is fourth most in the NFL. Acho, I can see why you're excited about this. All right, coming up, the Steelers get a steal, overhauling their quarterback room, bringing in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. But which one is a better fit for new OC Arthur Smith and his offense? Our crew tells us who should be QB1. And Jaden Daniels just showed off at his pro day earlier this week. Is there enough buzz for him to potentially go number one?
NFL Live is brought to you by Hulu on Disney Plus. Available now for Disney Bundle subscribers.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Let's get it, Justin Fields. Quarterback room about to be fire emoji.
I come in the mindset just being the best version of me every day.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Pittsburgh was a place that Justin Fields wanted to go. And in a span of a week, Pittsburgh adds both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, both at very low cost.
Russell's the starter and Fields is coming in to be the backup.
It should be a competition.
When it's time to compete, obviously Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capabilities. If we cannot be loved,
then we cannot be judged. And both quarterbacks are going to play for new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. Here's Mike Tomlin on his new OC. And I quote, "I love having the ability to bounce ideas off of people and not necessarily things that are directly related to the team or game plan or strategy, the things you would initially think, but more subtle things. Calendar, best practices, things that happen over the course of 12 months in an effort to search for and find a winning edge. That has proven to be very beneficial to me in the past, and I'm excited about having this time around with Arthur," close quote. Which is kind of cool because you look at a veteran head coach who's been that successful but literally is willing to listen to somebody else who's been in that position and their input. So I really love that. Mina, which quarterback do you love in Smith's offense?
Yeah, I think, as I said, it should be a competition. And as far as which quarterback is better and who will win that competition, for me, a big factor in that decision will come down to whether Arthur Smith is really willing to lean into the design quarterback run game. And we have seen him do that. In fact, as recently as 2022 with Marcus Mariota in Atlanta, who I think we can all agree is not as dynamic at this point in his career as Justin Fields is, Mariota ranked sixth in the NFL amongst quarterback in rushing first downs that year. He actually averaged more EPA per carry as a ball carrier than Josh Allen on smaller sample size, but still, he was extremely effective. So you'd be dropping Fields into an offense that already has a very good run game. You saw that, I think, over the last, especially the second half of last season, the offensive line looked really good run blocking. They figured out how to use both Jalen Warren and Najee Harris. Now you add Fields to that, they could be one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL. But Arthur Smith has to be willing to lean into that in a way that, at times, Justin Fields' coaches have not.
I think about Russell Wilson and his fit, not just in this offense, but with this team. Russell Wilson, in his best years, at least what people would argue, they said, man, they had a great defense and a great running game. And all of a sudden, Russell Wilson didn't turn the ball over, made smart decisions as a quarterback. And all of a sudden, this dude's gone to Super Bowls. He's won Super Bowls. Then you go back to, okay, 2 years ago in Denver. All right, you got a rookie head coach. Russell Wilson played with a torn lat. He actually played through that, right? He talked about that on the podcast with I Am Athlete. And then look at last year. Had a pretty solid season. When did the season get better for him? They went on that 6-game winning streak. Why? When his defense was playing great. And so Russell Wilson sat down with Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin said, man, I'm so impressed by even his 12-month calendar, by how he takes care of his body, by the things that he does when he talks about having that winning edge as well. And so in the same way that Arthur Smith understands how to win, I think Russell Wilson has that as well. I got a chance to be around him at the Super Bowl and even at the Bart Starr Award 2 years ago where he won it, and Mike Tomlin was there. I was with them this last season when Minkah Fitzpatrick won it. There's a certain type of caliber of person that Russell Wilson is, I think, fits perfectly in that offense and perfectly with that team.
Yeah, Acho, I talked to somebody with the team who put it bluntly. If Russell Wilson gives us what he did for Denver in 2023, we're just going to be just fine for 2024. Yes. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. They felt he played really clean football. That's partly why they brought Arthur Smith in at OC. He was one of the most coveted play caller options in the league when teams were hiring around the carousel. They know that his offense with the play action and the running game will keep turnovers to a limitation, and then also they're going to try to maximize George Pickens. who throws a great deep ball, Russell Wilson. So he's going to be targeting Pickens downfield. They believe that at any time they can get Fields ready to go. Fields is really excited, I'm told, about playing for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers and just to have some consistency. So he will probably see the field at some point, but Wilson would have to struggle for that to happen.
Yeah, consistency being the operative word here, right? Because both guys have had such turnover in recent years in terms of their play callers. We're just getting started on NFL Live. This year's wide receiver draft class, you know this already. It is absolutely loaded, but Matt is going to tell us why the first receiver to hear his name called might not be the person you think.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
The 2024 NFL Draft is in Detroit, April 25th, 26th, and 27th. And we'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network. And as always, ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft. Yo, grinding, working, working, watch me,
working. Potentially historic wide receiver class.
Touchdown, Marvin Harrison Jr.
You will want Marvin Harrison Jr. on your football team.
Here's the best tight end in the country, Brock Bowers.
Touchdown, Roma Dunze.
Malik Nabers putting on a show.
I'm a grind all day. I'm a grind it out.
Wow, just an embarrassment of riches here. If you are in the market for a pass catcher, you are in luck this year. And Matt Miller is back with his latest mock. So, Matt, after everything we've seen this week, especially Nabers Pro Day, is Marvin Harrison Jr. still the first off the board?
He is for me, Hannah, but depending on which team you work for, that answer may be very different as we get into the differences between these guys. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is still my top overall wide receiver. I had him going number 5 to the L.A. Chargers, where now he gets to play with Jim Harbaugh instead of against him. Perfect complement to Justin Herbert's arm strength. Someone with Josh Palmer there, last year's first-round pick, Quentin Johnston. But Harrison is like watching A.J. Green or Larry Fitzgerald where they were in the NFL. He's polished. He's pro-ready. He'll be an excellent number one wide receiver in the pros. Now, Nabers, as you mentioned, some teams think he is the best receiver in this class. I have him going 6th to the New York Giants, who are at his pro day, as we talked about. His acceleration, his burst, what he does after the catch is exactly what the New York Giants want and need. He would pair perfectly with Jalen Hyatt and Wandale Robinson, two other very fast wide receivers. But it's his route running ability at this speed that makes him very, very different. And have we forgotten about Rome Odunze, who is, I think, the most physical wide receiver in this class, who is a bully when it comes to 50-50 balls. He has speed, he has strength, he has route running ability. Have him going number 9 to the Chicago Bears, where he would pair with quarterback Caleb Williams to give them an amazing dynamic duo to build around as they really relaunch that offense in Chicago. And when we look at the first round wide receivers in this class, there are a lot of them. The record is 7. That was in 2004. We could see that tied or even bested this year. There were a couple guys that wanted to get in this top 32, just couldn't quite squeeze them in. But it is an absolutely ridiculous wide receiver class this year. And like you said, if you need a receiver, this is the year to go get one.
Yeah, I love it. Even at the bottom of your list, worthy going to the Chiefs. Why not have Patrick Mahomes develop another young wide receiver? So Acho and Mina are back with us. Mina, in your estimation, does Neighbors have a case over Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I think he has a case, Hannah. I view him as a 1B, frankly, to Harrison Jr.'s 1A, just because of the different skill set he brings to the table. It actually reminds me a little of going into last season, the NFL. I remember debating with people, okay, who would you rather have, Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson? I'm not comparing them to those players, but the same dynamic was at play, which is when you have Tyreek Hill, because of his game-changing speed, it really dictates how defenses play you, and it is something that, frankly, is unparalleled across the NFL. However, I would argue Justin Jefferson is a more complete player. He's this incredible route runner. He's good at everything. He's so good off the line of scrimmage. It really comes down to, frankly, what your need is as an offense. Harrison Jr. is that prototypical X receiver. He's so good at attacking defenders. His route running, as Matt Miller highlighted, is amazing. The hands are amazing. So if you're looking for that well-rounded, no question, unambiguous number one, he's your guy. But Neighbors brings you so much explosiveness that there's a totally reasonable case for him to be taken first, depending on the needs of your offense.
And to your point, Mina, Marvin Harrison Jr. does all that, and he did it from the slot as well this year. Yes, he's a prototypical X, but 25% of his targets were actually a slot receiver this year. And so you see him as a route runner. You see him with great hands. You see him contested catches. Obviously, Romo Odunze, I would say he's even better at contested catches. I mean, he's outstanding. But that's what I see when I watch Marvin Harrison Jr. For me, I would choose him number one if I'm Arizona, mainly because of, yes, his size, his skill, his ability. Obviously, I played in Arizona. I played with Larry Fitzgerald. There are some reminders there when I look at Larry and look at just like the type of body and skill set, 6'4", 209, route running. But at the same time, to your point, there's a certain level of dynamism when it comes to some of the other receivers that we're talking about. Marvin Harrison Jr. has the size and the skill, but that level of explosion he may not have just yet.
Can't lose among these top guys. That's the good news. Meanwhile, one who was taken in the first round in 2020 is in the news. We're talking about Niners receiver Brandon Ayuk. He wants to get paid. GM John Lynch dismissed trade rumors this week, saying that the club is actively talking with Ayuk to try and figure out a long-term deal. Yesterday, Ayuk joined Shannon Sharp and Chad Johnson on their podcast to voice his side.
I'm trying to get what I deserve. I felt like this season playing football, I figured out who I was as a person, as a player, what I bring to the table, what I bring to the locker room, what I bring to organization, and just the value I hold when I walk in that building, because people gonna follow me because I've done it the right way since I've been in that building from the first day I walked in there to when I was in there earlier this morning.
Mina, how do you see this situation with the Niners? We know Brock Purdy's eligible for an extension after this upcoming season.
Yeah, first I want to say, I think Brandon Ayuk is actually one of the more underrated players in the entire NFL. He has the quality that every team wants, which is a receiver who just gets open, the separation, the route running. He is a true number one, and I think he's underrated because he plays on a team of number ones at their respective positions, and also with, of course, a receiver in Deebo who is so unusual and unique and is being paid like a top receiver, which is what makes this decision interesting for the Niners, because Hannah, it's very difficult to pay two wide receivers at the top of the market. It's, of course, the conundrum that the Bengals find themselves in. I think, however, the Niners can keep Ayuk and pay him, but you have to consider your timeline. You're doing that knowing that eventually you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy, and you're probably going to have to move on from Deebo after this season. So you're sort of staggering your contracts so that you're not paying all three of them top of the market money at once, because that's probably not possible.
Yeah, I mean, Deebo has 2 years left on his extension. He signed it prior to 2022, and there's over $58 million guaranteed still heading his way. Mina, thanks. Still to come, Matt is back, and he tells us who he thinks should draft former Georgia tight end Brock Bowers in the first round. Could he be a difference maker in the AFC East?
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The inaugural United Football League season kicks off this weekend. Four games across ESPN and Fox. Tomorrow, the Arlington Renegades host the Birmingham Stallions at 1 Eastern. Then it's the St. Louis Battlehawks taking on the Michigan Panthers on Fox. On Sunday, the D.C. Defenders take on the San Antonio Brahmas at noon Eastern. And then the Houston Roughnecks host the Memphis Showboats on ESPN. Breaking news into NFL Live, and this from Adam Schefter. The Eagles are sending edge rusher Hassan Reddick to the New York Jets for a conditional 2026 third-round pick that could be a second, sources tell ESPN. The 2023 pick becomes a second if Reddick has a 67.5% play time this season and has 10 or more sacks. If not, it's a 2023. It's a guy who's had 50.5 sacks over the last four seasons. Look at this. Everything that the Jets have done, shoring up their offensive line, and you see Reddick there at the top, added to a defense where they also acquired Kinlaw, Oliver, and Fotu, Tyrod Taylor as the backup for Aaron Rodgers, and bringing all those guys to the offensive line. So, big picture, Jets, I know you're excited about the defense. Reddick, one-year deal, so 1 year left on his deal. It's a win-now mode, Acho.
Absolutely, and what I love about Hassan Reddick is that he's a proven pass rusher. The last 4 years, each of the last 4 years, he's had double-digit sacks. There's no questions asked. Turn on the tape. He's continually producing, so you add that to some of the dominant players on the inside and on the back end, you get really excited about the New York Jets even more defensively. Now, offensively, there are still questions, right? You could talk about the left tackle, okay, Tyron Smith and the injury history. Talk about even Aaron Rodgers and the injury history. Like, all that is real, but you add a guy like Hassan Reddick who can get after the quarterback, Quinnen Williams on the inside, your DBs are still dominant, this defense gets even better. So if there is a lull at quarterback or a little bit of injury and then Aaron Rodgers comes back or maybe left tackle's not playing as well, all of a sudden that defense can create even more pressure on any offense, especially you talk about the Bills, the Dolphins, you name it, he's creating pressure.
Yeah, adding really key pieces on both sides of the ball. We saw Mike Williams as well, and the fact that Hassan Reddick ranks fourth in sacks over the last four seasons. All right, let's play a game now. It's called Ask Matt, and we're going to play this with Mina. So we're going to go team by team in the AFC East. Mina, you're going to give us the team needs. Then Matt is going to tell us who he is picking in his latest mock. So let's start with the Patriots picking at number three. Mina, what are their biggest needs?
Yeah, quarterback, obviously. But beyond that, I would say wide receiver. You're bringing back Kendrick Bourne, who's a player I like. I like DeMario Douglas. You still need that number one. And then offensive tackle. Trent Brown is gone. You did bring back Michael Nguyen, who's going to play on the right side. But this Patriots offensive line definitely needs help. Really across, I would say, the line, but particularly at tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Everything on offense might be the this easier answer for what the Patriots need, which is actually why in this most recent mock draft, I had them trade back from number three. That's not me reporting that they're going to trade back, but looking at the scenario of if they did move back, and I know those calls will be made, What could it look like? How could you build this team if you do trade back? You could get a premier left tackle in an Olufoshinu from Penn State if you move back to 11-23, where the Minnesota Vikings are at right now in the first round. You could look to add an impact player on defense, like a corner in Cooper DeJean, who has some of that inside-outside versatility, also a fantastic punt returner. And then you have the 2025 extra first-round pick if you do move back. So should the Patriots do it, we can have a long conversation about should they trade out, should they stick at three and take the third quarterback in this draft. But I'm with you absolutely. They have some big premier holes to fill. When you think about how you want to build a team on offense, you start with quarterback, wide receiver, left tackle. The Patriots don't have an answer at any of those positions right now. So they're, I think, one of the more interesting teams in terms of what does this new regime do to really put their stamp on it after Bill Belichick. You got to follow those footsteps, but also you're trying to build an offensive identity that they really don't have right now.
Yeah, we've seen the Jets again make this move today and be so busy. So given everything that we know about what they have done, Mina, where is their biggest need? They sit at number 10.
Well, it's certainly not on the defensive line, I'll say that. actually kind of similar to New England, minus the quarterback position, which is really at offense. Wide receiver, you know, you do bring in Mike Williams, but not only does he have an injury history, he's getting up in the years, it's a one-year deal. So that's still a position I think they could add at really pass catcher generally. And then offensive line. Again, they were very active in the offseason at fixing this position, trading for John Simpson, signing Morgan Moses, and Tyron Smith to play left tackle. That's great. I love all those moves. It's not enough. We saw, of course, nightmare situation with the Jets and that offensive line. So I think even with the additions they made in free agency, that's a position that they have to attack in the draft.
No, absolutely. And that's why at pick 10, I feel like they can almost go best player available on offense. In the mock draft, I had them take the tight end out of Georgia, Brock Bowers, because he could be that middle of the field option route safety valve for Aaron Rodgers. And this is a team, the Dallas Cowboys think they're all in. No, this is what all in looks like, because you're signing 33-year-old offensive tackles. You're getting a 30-year-old wide receiver in Mike Williams. Two of those guys, Smith and Williams, with, you know, remarkable injury history in their careers. So it does feel like they're pushing the chips to the middle of the table. As much as I would personally say, let's draft a left tackle for the future, it feels like the Jets need a player that can come in and help them win in 2024, because GM Joe Douglas, head coach Robert Saleh, they're trying to save their jobs. And they're also trying to convince Aaron Rodgers that you want to play more than just one more season. Brock Bowers helps everyone do that, because he is going to help this offense immediately, whereas a left tackle or a right tackle, those guys will be sitting behind Tyron Smith, assuming he can stay healthy, something he hasn't done since 2015.
Yeah, so much at stake for them this season. All right, thanks, you two. This is our final show during Women's History Month, after a season which saw female interest in the game at an all-time high, thanks in no small part to the influence of Taylor Swift. We celebrate the women of football across all aspects of the game. Here's Laura Rutledge.
From breaking barriers on the field to shattering glass ceilings in the front office, women have taken the NFL by storm, challenging stereotypes, pushing the envelope, and leaving their mark in the league at historic highs. From women like Sarah Thomas, the first female on-field official in playoff history, to Jennifer King, the first Black woman to be named a full-time coach, women are making history and shifting the landscape of the National Football League. However, the significance of women in the NFL goes far beyond their presence on the field. Women are also making strides behind the scenes, in executive and front office positions. Women like Kim Pegula, co-owner of the Buffalo Bills, and Sandra Douglas Morgan, president of the Las Vegas Raiders, are making their voices heard and shaping the future of franchises and the league in meaningful ways. What's even more impactful is the power of being surrounded by other women in the NFL community. Being able to walk the same hallways and share the same spaces with some of the most influential women, not only in the NFL, but the entire sports media world. Reporters and journalists who are stepping into the spotlight and using their platform to show the world that women aren't only capable of being a part of the football world, but are flourishing in it. While slaying the dragons and walking in rooms we were never allowed in are huge accomplishments, the most significant impact of it all is the inspiration it brings to future generations, empowering them to pursue their passions and break down barriers in their own lives, showing young women that we change the conversation, we change the game, and we change the world.
And we want to salute all the women behind the scenes who work here on NFL Live, from producing and directing to operations, audio, graphics, stage managing, camera ops, you name it. Thanks for all you do to make the show possible every day. And coming up on NFL Live, we are less than a month from the NFL draft, and the Bears are on the clock. But hear why Caleb Williams may not be a lock to hear his name called first.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Only one can be the best.
I'm going to take Caleb Williams.
His ability to run, extend plays, his accuracy, elite.
Only one can be numero uno.
Caleb could be great.
Caleb's unbelievably talented. Jaden's the best guy in the draft for me.
It ain't easy to get to the top. Once you get competition, it's different.
It looks like Jaden Daniels having fun, right?
Only one can be the best.
This kid is special. I think there's a lot of people looking at this going, he may just be QB1.
By most accounts, Chicago plans to use its number one pick this year to take what they hope is a franchise quarterback for years to come. And while that presumptive number one has been USC's Caleb Williams, we won't know for sure until the Bears are on the clock on April 25th. Adam Schefter caught up with their head coach, Matt Eberflus, this week.
What is it like to sit there having the number one overall pick?
It's great. It really is, you know, and not only the number one pick, but the number nine pick, which is really good, too, because we're going to get a blue player there either way. So it's going to be good. And we have really good flexibility because of what we did in free agency. We have great flexibility at that number nine pick. So we're going to get back with our crew and then do some pods and look at different positions and rank them and then go lateral across the board and see how those guys fit at that nine position, too.
The great part is you didn't even have to endure what a team that lands the number one pick has to endure to get that pick, because that's Carolina's pick. Mm-hmm. So there's a double win there, right, that you get this number one pick without having to have that record.
Yeah, it's, you know, year three, so we've laid the foundation the first 2 years with the draft classes, and then obviously a really big free agency class last year, and then another big one this year. So Ryan Poles has done a wonderful job of, you know, managing our cap and our cash and acquiring these players, and we're excited about year three.
What was your takeaway of your experience at USC's Pro Day?
It was good. It was really good. You know, so we, you know, went to dinner with Caleb and a lot of other players as well. That was very good to see how they interacted together. And then the next day we did some football stuff with the players. So you're really trying to glean the football knowledge, FBI there. And certainly during the dinner you have all the personalities and you see interactions. So you see how the team interacts there, which is why we invited all those guys there, which is really good. And then you saw the actual pro day. The pro day was outstanding. You know, we did a nice job. The receivers that were there working out did a nice job as well. So we were excited about that day.
And what was your impression of Caleb having spent time with him at dinner that night?
It was good. You know, what you see there is interaction, and you see, like, guys just interacting with each other, how they interact with player, coach and player. So it was good. Great personality, you know, easy to talk to. It was really good.
And when you watch him on film, what do you see?
Yeah, so the first thing you see is the arm talent. You see that. You see the accuracy. And you see his ability to escape when he needs to. You know, so when you study these quarterbacks, it doesn't matter if it's the guy at Michigan or North Carolina, you know, LSU, Washington, and USC, you study those guys, which we are studying all of them. You have to. You literally watch all their tape. You know, so you go back as far as you can, and in all the way into high school if you have to watch them. And these guys, it's I think it's going to be a pretty good, when we look down the road, it's going to be a pretty good quarterback class.
Well, draft analyst Matt Miller is back with us. And you heard Courtney Cronin earlier this week say that apparently Caleb Williams did not take out his cell phone during that dinner. So that was also very impressive.
Ooh.
I don't know how much that matters in terms of your mock draft, Matt, but should the Bears consider any other option at one overall?
I mean, you have to consider it, but no, I don't think realistically. And I think, you know, Coach Eberflus did a great job there saying, of course, they're investigating all these other quarterbacks. You have to go through that process just in case. But this is a lot like, you know, 2021 when we had five quarterbacks go in the top 15. Trevor Lawrence was going to be that top guy all along, no matter how many reports came out in the weeks before the draft that, ooh, Zach Wilson is climbing boards and Justin Fields is climbing boards. It was still Trevor Lawrence all along. And I think, you know, also the year where we had Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love in that group, there was all the conversation about who should the top quarterback be. It was Joe Burrow all along. And I think this year it will be Caleb Williams all along. He is that special of a talent. That's not a knock on Jaden Daniels or Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or any of the other fantastic quarterbacks in this class. But Caleb Williams is special. He's a remarkable quarterback prospect. And everyone I've spoken to in the NFL feels like this decision has really been made for months. It was just a matter of which team was going to have that first overall pick in order to select him and make him their franchise quarterback. But I'm excited to see what they can do with him in Chicago, given what they've built around him. But yes, the Bears have to talk to Jaden Daniels and Drake May and the other quarterbacks just in case.
And what stood out to me most was the question that Matt Eberflus answer that he wasn't asked. They asked him about number one. He said, hey, let's talk about number nine. For me, that says, oh, wow, we're already set at number one at Caleb Williams. Let's talk about that number nine overall pick. And so that was a comment that stood out to me most that shows that Caleb's going to go number one, and their focus is on their next pick.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that next pick is there's so many different directions they could go in to continue helping Caleb Williams' offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, if Bowers is there. You know, everybody said it. Williams seems to be set in stone at number one, and I think it's the right decision. I'm a huge fan of both Daniels and May's games, but I think Williams gives you that second reaction play out of structure, those beautiful deep balls that just are so coveted in today's NFL. He's a truly modern quarterback in every sense of the word. And I think for the Bears, it's the correct decision.
And Matt has them taking Roma Dunze at nine. Boy, would that be something else. All right, we just are running out of time. We have time for one more thing. And I'm not quite sure what this is that our producers have. Okay, this was this was in our first commercial break. I thought
that was...
I was going to say, you look like you're celebrating something.
What you got planned for the weekend?
I thought it was a flat water, but apparently,
it is 5 o'clock.
An early start on a Friday. It was, yeah, great. It was sparkling.
A lot to celebrate.
All right, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Happy Easter.